Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Just dial toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. It's the Sickle CAI toll-free line as we launch here into the second hour of the program. 800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features on the site, they are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. You can call about anything. Otherwise, we talk about things interesting to us, and many times we get interesting things here in the email box. Rusty has emailed in from Hawaii, and he says that in point number two, his first point was that he's really bummed out and burned out about the political system because the police have been completely ignoring a legislative, or not legislative, but one of those initiative things that the people put on the ballot there and then voted for to make marijuana the lowest law enforcement priority, and basically the cops said, well, we're not going to do what you want. So that was his first point. Point number two, he says, is it's not uncommon when a private property owner or law enforcement officer of some sort tells a homeless person to move along, they will say, I'm a native of Hawaii. Your laws don't apply to me. There are more than a few people here that feel the laws applied by the state and federal government are simply not their laws, that they belong to a different community. Probably the people that, again, the natives, they feel as though that their island was stolen from them, and, well, it pretty much was.
The evidence is on their side.
How do you feel about this, he says? Whose rights are more important, the native or the private property? Or the private property owner? Is the native's claim valid since they claim the land was theirs and stolen? Or the property owner who worked within the system to legally purchase the land? Now, of course, the native isn't claiming actual ownership of that land, right? Did they have private property before was there a system of private property in Hawaii before the United States came in there?
Well, they would have sort of a corporate ownership. If a tribe owns, this is the area of this tribe, perhaps the lines of that area aren't surveyed and clear. However, I'm sure that, if it's anything like my understanding of what tribes were like in the rest of the Western Hemisphere, the islands were split up and different, different tribes have different control over different islands, and sometimes they war between each other and that kind of thing. So they had a corporate ownership. The tribe itself owned a certain amount of land.
But this is a good question, because normally when it comes to the issue of somebody in the past, Indians, for instance, being thrown from their land and killed and moved off a plot of land and having white man come on or whoever and take over, and then generations and generations later, people say, well, that was our land. That was the land of our tribe, and, it should be ours. Well, it's difficult to deal with that because it's been so long. In the case of Hawaii, this is only a few decades ago that it became a state, at least.
Well, a state, but it was... The state kind of corrupted property rights in a lot of ways, because, and now a lot of people, if they're anti-statist, they don't believe in property rights, because all the property rights are whatever the state defines right now, mm-hmm. as opposed to what would be, and normally you have these two people who both have a dispute about who, do you have a right to be on this property or not? And they'd have to find, they'd want to find some way to resolve that, and then it would come down to what's reasonable, and what the market decides.
When did the takeover of Hawaii happen?
Well, I know that the British had them previously as the Sandwich Islands. I would think we're talking about at least 100 years.
Really? Okay.
Because Hawaii is in a great place right in the middle of the Pacific. It's, has nice deep water ports, and so it likely was picked up quite some time ago.
Well, in that case, though, how would you want to deal with this? Let's say it did happen in 1950, just for the sake of argument.
Why don't we use Cuba as an example?
Okay. What about Cuba?
Okay. Under Batista, certain people had power and they owned certain pieces of property. And then Castro came in, and basically those people.
And that was in the 50s?
That was early 60s.
60s.
Very early 60s. And late 50s, the war was being fought. And more or less, other people got the property as a result of Castro taking over. Some people fled the islands. Likely they would have died if they had not, mm-hmm. or certainly lost their property and been reduced to being amongst the peasants. They probably took as much money and stuff as they could and hightailed it to the United States. So what about the property that is, was theirs? There are people alive,
still alive
today in Miami right now who owned property in Cuba that's no longer theirs.
I don't have an answer for that.
I know. It's really tough.
That's just it. That's my question, and that's kind of a version of his question here, is how do you deal with that?
Right. What you do is you can say, look, liberty can solve problems that we have today, but if you start going back and trying to solve all the problems of in the past, it's going to be very difficult. I'm sorry. It's hard enough to solve all of today's problems using the concepts of liberty. Now you want to toss in some of the problems from several decades ago. I think those problems are actually solved. It's very unfortunate. I think that the people of Hawaii have been jilted, and they do, as I understand, have a good portion of the Big Island still, and they could. What would you do? You'd end up parceling things out and saying, okay, well, it's you people who paid for this, you white people who paid for this, you get some stuff, because they didn't steal the island, those white people that are there, the Haoles, I believe they refer to them as, and of course the natives that are there, they didn't have their island stolen from them either. They weren't even around when their island was taken, so you would parcel the island up, likely, and I think that what should happen, it seems to me, is if there's a big reserve on the Big Island, as I understand it, you let the natives have it and parcel it up as they wish to parcel it up.
So you're talking about government land. You're talking about parceling up what is government land,
I think,
not
it's reservation land. I mean,
but that's essentially that's land that has been designated as such by the government, right?
That's my understanding.
So that would make sense for the government stolen land. Something has to be done with that in the transition to the voluntary society. And in fact, there's a whole lot of land out west that is federal government controlled. And so that could be something that could very easily be turned over to people to make some level of amends for past offenses. But I think generally, Mark, you're right that you can't really go too far back into the past to deal with things like this, because it just becomes absolutely next to impossible to deal with something like that. And then what do? You set up another bureaucracy to handle the all of the claims that somebody's going to make and verify and validate all of the various different people that would be making claims on certain plots of land?
In January 1893, Lilalua Kalanani was replaced by the provisional government composed of members of the Committee of Safety.
So it's been more than 100 years then?
Yes.
All right. I think we've answered the question.
It's not an easy question.
No.
And this is where you start getting into who owns what. And if you're going to go back this far, in Hawaii, 100-something years, and trying to make reparations on that, how about the black people that were owned by white people? Are you going to try to figure out which ancestors of which white people owned which ancestors of which black people? And by the way,
they're responsible.
You're going to find a lot of black people that have ancestors of both, and that's going to be interesting trying to get them to pay themselves. Then you're going to have to wait. I'm not done. Then you're going to have to go and find the Mohicans, try to make reparations to them and all the other American, Native American, Indian folks that were put off their land. Don't forget in Europe, my ancestors were really good for nothing but bearing the bastard children and fighting the wars of the overlords. Hey, it's not like my people were any better off. They, serf is? It's a slave in any other use of the term. In a lot of places in Europe, essentially serfs were bound to the land. They couldn't even leave. If they left, they'd be killed. So these people were slaves. So where do you stop? Are you going to make the Egyptians pay reparations to the Jews from 4,000 years ago?
1-800-259-9231. He continues here with a final question, or two questions. He says, there's also currently a child abuse case in the works where the woman admits to hitting several children in the mouth with a hammer. Her defense, because she's a native, is that the law does not apply to her. Is that any different than the above question about the native that says the law doesn't apply to him because he wants to sleep on somebody's property as a homeless man? Should the law not apply to her? Well, I don't know. What would the native's law have been about hitting children with a hammer? How would they have handled that? I know that in Somalia, the Zaire system would have handled that in a pretty fair and equitable manner. It may even be more harsh, whatever the native law was as far as punishing people for violence. It might have been an eye for an eye thing. I doubt that the natives of today have any idea, most of them, what the laws of 100-something years ago in Hawaii were.
Natural law should apply to all of them, you know, in the real world. But.
Yeah, you do harm, then you have to make restitution for that harm.
Natural law, as much as I really like it, is just a guess. You know?
Well, that's why the free market resolves those sorts of differences, if you allow it to, but we don't.
There's more coming up here, plus an update on the guys from MotorhomeDiaries.com. We've got the latest on that. We'll share it with you here in moments. 800-259-9231 is the phone number. You can take control of the airwaves. Free Talk Live.
Attention, all active duty members and veterans of the U.S. military. Your proud service to your country entitles you with the right to participate in special VA loan programs with benefits not available to the general public, like the ability to purchase a new home with no down payment or mortgage insurance, or refi with cash out up to 100% of your present home equity with less strict credit criteria. You are entitled to these benefits. Review them online at varadio.com.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the United States military, you've earned special rights and privileges. On your feet! And get the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. varadio.com.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today. If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. This 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the ebook. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. hereswhatyoudo.net and start changing your life today.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
Live, it's your show, and you can bring up what you want. Just dial toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. And that is the SACL CAI toll-free line tonight. It's Ian with you. And Dale.
Sorry.
And Mark. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features, they're free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Speaking of Dale, his website, anarchyinyourhead.com. It's an online comic, and it's pretty darn good. So go and take a look when you get a chance. You've just completed the top 10 reasons why it is that, what was
it's
it?
It's called 10? The Top 10 Causes of Minarchism.
Top 10 Causes of Minarchism. It's been a lengthy series of comics, and you just wrapped it up with the number one reason today. So go see it. Or was it today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
It was moments just recently, and you can get it over at anarchyinyourhead.com. That's anarchyinyourhead.com. All right, so a quick update here, and then we'll get right back to your calls. According to Zach Fix from Free Agents, FR33agents.com, the Motorhome Diaries guys have been refused entry into Canada officially at this point.
So does that mean that they have been incarcerated?
I don't have those details, but what I do know is that the Jones County situation is what the Canadian agents cited as to why they were not going to be allowed into Canada. Now, for those listeners that don't know, we're talking about Pete and Jason from MotorhomeDiaries.com. They're a couple of great guys that are traveling around the country and had plans to travel to Canada at least one leg of their trip to meet with various different liberty-oriented people that are doing a variety of different things, everything from, again, kind of in-the-system activism to not-so-in-the-system activism. They've been filming it. They've been taking video along the way and uploading that to their YouTube account and essentially video blogging their travels around the country. And it's been a great experience so far for these guys, except for one point at which when they were arrested in Jones County, Mississippi, for basically not being completely obedient to the police. They were pulled over for some tag issue. And during that pullover, one of the activists, well, I don't remember who it was, I think it might have been Adam, their third guy at that time, had pulled out a video camera and was recording the cops. This, of course, irritated the police even further. They then went and charged these guys with a bunch of nonsense, like disobeying an officer, that kind of crap. And they held them in jail for a night. The activists got really, they jumped to the case. They raised some money to get these guys out of jail, and they continued on. But I guess the charges are still pending. The Jones County thing hasn't resolved. I think they were going to be going down there, actually, after a little while to go to trial on the charges that they've been brought up on. So it was the Jones County situation that the Canadian border guards have cited now as the reason they are disallowing the Motorhome Diaries people from coming into Canada.
So apparently the Motorhome Diaries guys are free. They just have to pass back through U.S. Security, and that's going to stink, I'm sure, especially once you have trouble in
Canada. Yeah, why'd you get turned around, boys?
Yeah, they always give you trouble.
Yeah, that reminds me of something about the civil disobedience discussion, which I would like to get back to you after we're
we can do that.
Talking about. Well, you know,
well,
we're
actually,
talking about,
do you have something short that it reminds you of? Because I want to get to the phone call here.
No, nope, take the phone call.
All right, make a note. We'll get back to that. Let's go to Greg in Ohio. Greg, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. The first thing I just wanted to add was I just spoke to Zach, and the Motorhome Diaries crew has not been detained. They're not incarcerated, though they were denied entry to Canada.
Okay, good to know. They still have yet to make it back, though, through the U.S. Customs. Is that correct?
I don't know about that. I'm sure not, because U.S. Customs is always a royal pain. But the real reason I'm calling is because Barack Obama was in Shaker Heights, Ohio today, and I fortunately was there for that. Not at his speech, but there were probably 500 people down there protesting.
Okay.
And so the reason he was down there was, of course, he was trying to push his socialized health care plan. And what I wanted to comment on, I guess, is that, you know, the president obviously, I guess, has more a right to security, but there's a fine line between security and violating freedom of speech, right?
Sure. Do they have free speech zones set up again?
Well, not necessarily a specific zone, but it was taped off in such a manner that we were only able to stand in the very back of the high school, not even in the high school. We were in the middle of a residential neighborhood, side streets, where no one could see us, which is, of course, absurd, especially because the official reason for sticking us back there, right, was the president's security. We because we wanted to be out in front of the high school where people would see us on the main road. But we're put that back there for Barack Obama's security, and yet where does his motorcade drive right past? Yep, the back of the high school. After they stuck us back there for security, his motorcade rolled right past us into the back parking lot.
So any one of you could have had, you know, been strapped with a bomb or something like that, should you have been a naughty person in that way.
Right, if they were a security concern, as the state as they stated.
So it was a bunch of nonsense, basically. Now, now where he was giving the speech, clearly they were letting people in there, right?
Well, there were 1,500 tickets available. 500, big surprise, went to local union bosses and local county politicians. And then 1,000 of them you could enter like a raffle for online.
Would they let you in if you had a ticket, if you had an anti-socialized medicine shirt on? Would you be allowed in with a ticket and that kind of garb?
The shirt would probably be okay. I know for a fact you couldn't bring any signs in. Although, what's interesting is there were people with tickets being told that they weren't allowed to cross the line, like because the police line was set up. People were coming up there with tickets, and they were telling them, "We don't care, you can't go in."
Why? Because they were protesters?
No, they weren't even protesters. They were just they were showing up in suits. I have no idea why they were turning them back, but some of the people with tickets weren't allowed in. So
it sounds to me like you were in what they call a free speech zone. They'd essentially blocked you out of certain areas that otherwise would not have been dangerous in any way toward the president and his men you could have been in, but they prevented you from being there. So for instance, media people with video cameras and things like that would have been at the actual event would not have been able to see what you had to say.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And of course, there were a few Barack Obama supporters out there, but they didn't have much to say except go Obama, so we kind of ignored them and avoided any arguments or confrontations.
Well, you did your best. I remember when, I think it was back in 2000, Al Gore was running for president, wasn't he, at that time?
It was 2000.
And, of course, he was the vice president at that time, and so he still had the Air Force Two or whatever that he could fly around in.
1999.
And so we went to it would have been in 2000 as well, because the election's at the end of the year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're right.
So we, the libertarians down in Florida, went and did a protest and, of course, came up against a lot of that same stuff. You weren't allowed to get within a certain amount of closeness to the area in which they were allowing regular non-protesters to attend. So if you looked like a protester, you weren't allowed in. If you were clearly a fan of George Bush or whoever, I guess it was Al Gore, they're all the same to me. If you were a fan, then they were letting those people in. So it was very, very restricted access. And I think it's only gotten worse since that time. Since then, I think they've expanded the boundaries. They pushed them back out, and now it's even more difficult to get as close as we might have been able to get back in the year 2000. Thank you for the call tonight, and thanks for going out there and trying your best to do something. 800-259-9231. As I've said before, I think there is some value to getting together and rallying and doing protests and demonstrations, if only just to make you feel good about getting out and doing activism, but also I think there's a networking aspect that's fairly valuable as well. More on the way. You can bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground-up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet, or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
We are surrounded by harmful indoor air that can easily deliver many harmful toxins straight into our bodies. Take a deep breath. Can you actually feel the airborne influenza, viruses, mold, bacteria, and dangerous ozone entering your lungs? Have a glass of water. Can you taste the harmful chlorine, fluoride, lead, pharmaceutical drugs, and numerous other chemicals? Of course you can't. The air that you breathe and the water you drink should help maintain good health, not take away from it. AirandAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these toxins. AirandAqua.com carries whole house air and water purification systems, air conditioners, shower head filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, humidifiers, dehumidifiers, and much more. To learn more and see the products that will change the way you look at our air and water, please visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today. You can fire your phone company, fire your lawyer, fire your government, fire all phone tappers, fire your noisy family extension eavesdroppers, fire your parents listening, fire your boss listening, fire your girlfriend listening, fire your wife listening, fire your boyfriend listening, fire your husband listening with Magic Phone Guard. Magic Phone Guard does it all for only $29.95. Order now for complete phone privacy. If the light is green, your phone line is clean. Magic Phone Guard state-of-the-art circuitry monitors your phone line 24 hours a day, keeping them private. The CIA bought the Magic Phone Guard, and so should you. Order now at MagicPhoneGuard.com. Remember, only $29.95. That's MagicPhoneGuard.com. 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 Or call 1-800-234-5326. That's 1-800-234-5326. And order now for complete phone security.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want if you dial toll-free 800-259-9231. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line 1-800-259-9231. Tonight it's Ian with you.
And Dale.
And Mark. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features we give away to you, and they include the bulletin board system with over 1,800, I think that's probably the amount of users we have, but there are well over 450,000 posts. I guess when I was thinking 1,800, I was thinking of the wiki with over 1,800 pages. But I believe actually has crossed 2,000 pages at this point at the Free Talk Live wiki. So there's a lot to interact with on our website, and it's all free, whether it's the BBS or the wiki. Just put any either one of those in front of .freetalklive.com. So bbs.freetalklive.com to get you to the BBS, and wiki.freetalklive.com to get you to the wiki. All right, let's continue here. We'll take your calls, and then Dale wants to rehash or I guess restart, perhaps add a different point onto a discussion we'd had last hour about politics and civil disobedience. We're going to get to that, but first we're going to go to Dan in New Hampshire. Dan, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Dale, and Mark.
Hi, Ian, Dale, and Mark. Ian, I have a bone of contention for you because last night I called in and I brought up the Live Free or Die rally, and we got to talk about it a little bit. And
this is a New Hampshire-based sort of a freedom rally, which is really more of a freedom of speech rally. It happens on a yearly basis, and I guess this year there's going to be some camping. I think there was camping last year, actually, and it's a fairly popular thing. What about it?
It is a popular thing, and it is freedom-based. I mean, you know, it's First Amendment. I don't know how you can call the First Amendment anything but liberty, but
Well, what I was saying, Dan, last night was that it's free speech-based, not really a principled, liberty-oriented event, because they have allowed in the past people with some undesirable viewpoints, from my position at least, to have a chance to get up and spout off their viewpoints. And, you know, that's fine. It's their event. They can put it together however they want.
I don't know what viewpoints you're talking about.
Anti-immigration.
Well, they don't talk anti-immigration. They're talking about the problems around the immigration as it exists.
I don't think that's not the impression I got from those people that were there.
You know, and none of them are against any kind of legal immigration.
Well,
I have the same
that's
beef
not
as
saying
you
much,
do,
Dan.
Ian, I have the same beef as you do with the whole immigration problem. It isn't about a bunch of people who. I say it's about a bunch of people that would like to come here that are poor that want to better themselves, and I have no problem with that.
You're not the speaker that I was talking about. You aren't an offensive speaker.
I understand that, but you know.
So what is your bone?
People,
I don't get it.
There are people there that are you know, they're one of their issues is. You know, the really badly managed immigration policy that we have, and
their solution, Dan, as you well know, Dan, come on now, you well know that the people that are anti-illegal immigrant usually have the solution of a crackdown and not reducing government. Yeah, build a wall, put the border patrol down there.
Close the borders. That's right, and this is an opportunity.
That's not a pro-liberty thing, though. That's all I'm saying here. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Don't engage in them if you want to. All I said was to somebody who had asked me, and this wasn't last night, but somebody had asked me that, well, what is this Live Free or Die rally all about? I'm kind of short on money, and I'm not sure if I can afford to come up and attend this. And I said to them, you know, this isn't an organization that is, this isn't a rally that is being put on by a truly principled pro-liberty organization, so save your money and stay home.
How can you say that's bullcrap? They are principled. I mean,
then why are they allowing hate? Why are they allowing people?
Mike Patu, who's the guy who runs the thing, he's done more in the past 20 years to stop authoritarianism and keep statism from, you know, mucking with people's lives.
Hey, Dan, I'm just going to tell it like I see it. I like the guy that you're talking about, Mr. Cotu. I've met him a number of times. He's a very personable, nice gentleman. I have no objection against him, and I have no objection to his rally. All I told somebody was, if you're short on cash, you shouldn't come up to the Live Free or Die rally, because it, as far as the choices that you have, as far as things you can do here in New Hampshire, things that you can attend, there's the Liberty Forum and the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and there's the, you know, some other things that are going on up here that are much bigger and I think much more liberty-oriented, full-on liberty-oriented events. If there was an anti-immigration speaker that was speaking at the Liberty Forum, I would not bring Free Talk Live to the Liberty Forum to do the show there anymore. I would boycott it.
You took Free Talk Live there in 2008 when Senator
1-800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll free line. Our longtime listeners should know better than to say naughty words.
Well,
on
it
here.
Slips out. They don't mean to.
Yeah.
Well, they don't mean to. It's understandable with Sununu.
Yeah, I see where he's coming from on that, and they had a politician come to one of the Liberty forums, but it's. He wasn't specifically getting up there and ranting against
he was
illegal immigrants.
Talking specifically about, he knew it was a freedom-oriented event, and he, I'm sure, tailored his message. I didn't get to hear it because it was one of those keynote speeches that goes on during dinner when we're on the show. But I think it's a genuine point that he makes, and I think that
it's genuine. But there was a response to that. There was a response to them putting that politician on as a speaker. There was a sort of counter response. A protest happened.
We covered the protest.
We covered it on the air. We had one of the protesters in on the show to talk about it, and I think the displeasure was made very clear to the organizers of the event, who then the next year made a point of having more, I guess, freedom-oriented or non-political politician speakers attend.
It seems to me like the people running the event realized it was an actual sort of free market effect. They realized there was a demand for different material in the Free State Project amongst the people who were attending, and they adjusted the
events. I'm sure that one could say the same thing about the Live Free or Die rally, where there's a demand for anti-immigration messages there. And I think that there's a difference in the messages. Anti-immigration is a message that directly hurts innocent people that want to make a better life for themselves. You're not talking about, you know, some of the more indirect government programs that are out there. And I'm sure that Senator Sununu did, in fact, vote for all kinds of...
He was a supporter of the war.
Okay.
And if you want to talk about a couple of issues that are defining issues for libertarians, one of them is aggressive wars, and another one is immigration. And so I think Dan has a point in saying, I understand you, too. I mean, I get very upset about the anti-immigration talk at Live Free or Die. I don't know if it justifies a boycott unless you're going to boycott Liberty Forum, too.
But it's not a boycott.
All I said was,
if you're going to make a trip to New Hampshire for an event, don't make it the Live Free or Die rally. I said to the guy, wait till you move here and then go to it.
There's better stuff.
I did say and really do enjoy the Live Free or Die rally. We'll be going again this year because I enjoy it thoroughly.
I said I'd go.
I like being actors and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
I think that it is a fair assessment on Ian's part. And I of all the things, I love to attack Ian. It's one of my favorite things to do. I think that when you compare, say, the Live Free or Die rally to Porkfest, and you try, and you have enough money to go to one, you have to. It's fair to give the people a clear picture as to what talking.
Yeah, and Live Free or Die rally is a one day event. It goes into the night, and whereas
camping,
like Porkfest and Liberty Forum are both several day events, and.
It's a night and day difference, and that's all I was saying. I never said no one should go. Okay. I said I was going to go. I said last night on the show that I plan on going for an hour.
I take back what I said then. I understand what you're
I was
saying.
More defending against what Dan was calling about. 800-259-9231, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line.
But it does go to show that you can't please all the people all the time. You know, you basically say there's one wrong thing with something, and then it sounds to them as though you've smeared the whole thing.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to focus on the negatives rather than focus on the other things that we said. And I'm just trying to be fair. That's all. And the fair thing to say about that particular rally is they let anybody speak, which is fine. You know, that's their policy. That's what they want to do. Just don't expect me to get too excited about helping promote it. That's all. If you want my assistance to help promote something, then it's got to be a little bit more to my specifications, because I've only got a limited amount of time with which to talk about things, whether it's here on this show or on the blog at freekeem.com, which would make a more sensible place because this is a regional event. But I'm not planning on putting anything on the blog for this event this year. I think I had in the past a couple of years ago until all the drama exploded over the racist
ban. You don't want to seem to endorse something that's
exactly.
Like
exactly. More on the way. You can take control. But I saw the organizer yesterday, and I waved at him. He's a nice guy. It's Free Talk Live.
I had a great idea at work yesterday. So, I gathered my A-team to meet online, using WebEx. I passed the ball
to Carol in Atlanta, and I created some killer graphics. Then, I passed the ball to
Taz in San Jose, because I write the code that makes their ideas work online. Then I passed the ball to
Logan in Cambridge. I'm kind of the keeper of cool. And hey, it was cool.
So now, my idea wasn't just an idea. It was our hot new product line. Created by our national development team.
Spread across 3 time zones.
And we couldn't have done it without passing the ball.
Using WebEx, the only way to pass the ball online.
Pass the ball. Get your ideas rolling. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 606 to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset. Remember that code, 606. WebEx from Cisco, WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Finally in the news this evening, it's being reported that cyber spies from Russia and China have now penetrated our power grid. Even as energy experts are reporting that each summer we get closer and closer to the limits of our nation's power grid, some say that this summer's demand for electrical power may finally push the grid over its edge, creating a cascade of power outages across the country, putting us all in the dark.
Are you prepared for the next round of storm-related outages or government-created blackouts? Have you ever thought about taking taking steps to get off the grid and generate your own private supply of electrical power? If so, this will be the most important information you have ever heard. Solar-powered generators are finally available. They have no moving parts to wear out or break and require absolutely no gas whatsoever. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun. So go to MySolarBackup.com. That's MySolarBackup.com. Check out MySolarBackup.com before you lose your power.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can bring up what you want. Just dial toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and tonight it's Ian with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All of the features we give away, so enjoy those. And if you like the show and want to help support Free Talk Live, there are a number of ways you can help promote Free Talk Live. And you can see the whole list at promote.freetalklive.com. I got them all laid out for you there. Promote.freetalklive.com. Help get this show into more new ears around the country and around the world.
From creating new media and old media to political action, civil disobedience, market-based activism, you'll find more pro-liberty activism than you ever imagined possible when you moved to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project. Learn more at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
All right, 800-259-9231. So let's get back into it here, Dale. You had mentioned that you wanted to come back around to the topic that we were discussing at the end of the last hour, which was kind of this eternal, what seems to be an eternal clash between those who are in favor of political activism here in New Hampshire and those who are in favor of market-based activism and civil disobedience, non-cooperation, and things like that. Which, by the way, this conversation could be happening in any other places where there are actually enough activists in which to have a conflict like this.
Right.
This is the one of the conflicts that has bubbled up here in New Hampshire as a result of hundreds of activists coming here and trying to figure out what the best way to do things
is. It's like one of those problems you want to have. We've got so many activists and so many different ways of doing things that we're arguing about how to do it. You know?
Right. This conversation could occur any place that there happens to be a market-based activist.
A real movement for liberty.
Which is only here in New Hampshire.
Well, there are some market-based activists elsewhere that, you know, they're just not having much effect and they're not doing much because there's not very many of them concentrated in one area.
So, and when you mentioned the Motorhome Diaries film and the police, it reminded me of this. And I'm thinking about what we're trying to do here, and a lot of what has turned into civil disobedience, it's not so, you know, sometimes it's a planned act to say, I am going to disobey in order to get some attention to an issue. But sometimes it's just, you're just trying to do something. We're trying to do media, for instance. We're trying to film government at work and show people what's going on and, mm-hmm. And create some transparency and some accountability and things that even pro-government people should want that. You know, this is something we should be able to appeal to anyone. You know, Cynthia on TalkBack should be thrilled about more transparency and accountability in government.
You'd think. Although apparently even some pro-government people are so statist that they just don't even think that there should be cameras in courts or the court lobbies. And actually, according to Sam, he sent me a private message earlier today that apparently the court has now put in a policy in effect that is going to deny anyone access to records requests at the court. At least that's as I understood what he had said. So there may be fees involved now, so maybe you just can't get free records requests. They're going to start charging people for them. And he says that apparently the law in New Hampshire that says that all government agencies must hand over their records upon demand, he says that apparently doesn't cover the courts. So the courts, not so open, not so interested in showing their files anymore. Just as an aside.
I think that, I think the big test about how effective it can be will start with, you know, whether we can win a little battle in terms of just changing the behavior in terms of how bureaucrats and cops and things react to cameras.
Wait a second. That's already happened from a market-based standpoint here in Keene, New Hampshire. When I first got here, when I first arrived, I attempted to film briefly. I still have the video if you'd like to see it. They had some kid on the side of the road. I'm sure they were meeting out justice in a very fair manner. And if they were, they, you know, shouldn't have a problem with me filming it, but they stopped me and gave me trouble about it. And now there's no police officer inside of Keene that will give you any trouble about filming a traffic stop or any kind of business that they're doing.
I can't say that's a
good sign. That's a good point.
And that's because of the market-based activists doing Cop Watch here in Keene, New Hampshire. And, when Ian framed this discussion that we're going to have, he said this is the eternal debate between people, the political action, and people of the marketplace activists. And I don't believe we were having that discussion. I wasn't having that discussion earlier, and I don't have that discussion because I believe in market-based activism.
Keep putting words in my mouth saying that I said that political action is not effective at all, and what I'm saying is I believe it's very ineffective.
I think I'll let the listeners who've listened for the last few months, the longtime listeners to this show, I think I'll let them decide in their own minds how it is that what it is that you've said about political action in the past and how it is.
Doesn't matter what I said in the past. What I said last hour.
I like that you're calling it market-based activism instead of civil disobedience, which is a more specific thing. And I do feel like we're trying a lot of different things. And a lot of it is media. And I think what it gets down to, at least for me, is I fundamentally believe, and it'll take some convincing to change my mind about this, that the only way to liberty, and because liberty is about opposing violence and aggression against people, and so that people can be free to do what they want without being threatened. And I think that you don't do that by threatening people, which is how the political process works. I think it's, you know, that violence begets violence thing. And that's my fundamental belief. I have to have that change. But my thought is, in order to get liberty, you have to change individuals. And that might sound harder, but I think looking at the history of political activism, it doesn't seem harder to me. It does definitely look like a challenge. But I think part of what we're doing when we're trying to get, you know, cameras and allowing cameras in the court and things like that, they know that they are on kind of shaky ground of maintaining this legitimacy, this mindset in mm-hmm. people, and that's where their authority comes from, is just their image. And if we shatter that, and they you can tell they sense that we are a threat. Not a violent threat. They know, and that's sure. why we're a threat, because we're not violent.
Exactly. They could handle us if we were.
All we are doing is trying to express ourselves and have free speech and show what they're doing and express our opinions about it and get that out to people. And that's something they don't want to allow us to do, because they can't have that debate with us. They will lose it.
Right. The best they can do, and we're talking about the establishment here, not the political activists, but the best the establishment can do and the supporters of the establishment is basically insult us personally and say, go home. You know, you guys,
you guys are
just children waiting to grow up and go home. We don't want you to go to where from whence you came.
I heard Parcells saying that in the last talk back, which I listened on the archive, saying, it's like.
But he's not the only one.
Yeah. And it's
a bunch of children.
It's being afraid to actually have that debate when you just use ad hominems. And it's not going to work on us because, unlike political types, we are not desperately concerned with what people think about us.
Exactly.
Now, Dale, you said that you didn't believe that political activism could bring us to liberty because liberty has to do with nonviolence and not hurting other people. And I think that this is one of the complaints that those who do political action, who want to see step-by-step incremental moves towards liberty, have with the...
Oh, I want to see that too, by the way.
Voluntarious...
step-by-step incremental, I'm all for that.
Right, and don't you think that we could have step-by-step incremental moves towards liberty by ensconcing in law more freedoms?
No.
Allowing people... So you don't think that...
Not by working through the political system. So that might happen.
Going through the political system, for instance, on the marriage
that
issue.
That may happen.
Like, perhaps some legislator could do something like, abolish state marriages in New Hampshire. I think that would have a lot of, effects ripple, nationwide. I think there would be some problems with it. But don't you think that they could do that from within and then allow, that would allow gay people to get married in the church of their choice, people that don't believe in gay marriage to get married in the church of their choice, that you would have a lot of marriage freedom because then the legislators had ensconced that in law?
Mark, liberty will be reflected in the political system. There's no doubt about it. The political system is what's infringing on our liberties. So, yes, without a doubt, that political system has to change. But I do not think it will be happening by working by their rules through their system. We will have an impact on the political system by changing minds and changing the culture.
I understand where you're coming from. And I support you doing whatever activism that you are passionate about and whatever works for you, because it wouldn't work for you to do political action if you weren't excited about it. However, sure. The people that are excited about it might have some success. Would you agree that up to this point, civil disobedience for liberty has worked nowhere in the world? Because they haven't concentrated enough people in one area.
I thought
civil
disobedience was quite effective in equalizing. Black people in this country?
Yeah, well, apparently it swung the other way because, even as late as the 80s, you had things like affirmative action and all that kind of thing. So the pendulum's now getting
back. They started using politics.
Right. They did, absolutely. But that's how they managed to get their victories, ensconced in law, and I think that that's a good thing.
But they changed the culture by breaking laws. And that's what made it possible for the politics to change. They didn't go in there and do that. What they did is they changed the culture,
absolutely.
And then politics reflected that.
I don't think I'm not here arguing against civil disobedience. What I'm saying is you have to have enough people with feet on the ground doing your civil disobedience.
I am arguing against politics.
If you can get those kind of people with the feet on the ground, then I believe you can get something like 100 more per person feet on the ground doing political activism because it doesn't take the commitment level.
More on the way here, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. I am just trying to recruit people over to the market-based side and to show them how ineffective the political system is.
By kicking sand in
their
face.
More coming up? No, that's not what's going on. It's Free Talk Live.
In an instant, the world changed for Lieutenant General Michael O'Neill. His staff shot before his eyes. Arrested for war crimes, he now faces a short, one-sided trial. The boundaries blur, the chaos returns. Somebody is going to die. The long-awaited sequel to Hell's Fair, The Eye of the Storm, by New York Times best-selling author John Ringo, from Bain Books. Remember, if you don't like your world, visit one of ours at Bain.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.